Hi everyone, welcome to Final Score with the Score. Lega Warsaw 0, Chelsea 3. A comprehensive win in the Conference League. A very difficult place to go to. The crowd was quite intimidating, quite loud. A difficult atmosphere. Difficult first half, but second half, the changes came. Noni Madueke came on, changed the game, and Chelsea got 3 goals. Probably could have had more. And won comfortably. Another clean sheet as well. That's our 6th clean sheet in 8 games. Defence is starting to improve. So very positive. A very good win. And, you know, it means we can probably rest a few players for the second leg because we've got a massive lead and we're a bit at home. And we're good at home recently. So we're going to talk about the game today. We're going to talk about a few other things as well. So welcome to my 2 co-hosts, Rambles and Louis, but firstly, Rambles.
Evening, guys. Hope you're all well.
Yeah, good to have you here. Welcome, Louis, as well.
I can't be arsed, man.
1-3-0, you can't be arsed. All right, Rambles, what are your first thoughts on the game?
Yeah, poor first half, much better second half. Change has really made a difference. And it was nice to see Maresca switch a few things up. Obviously, he moved Tyreek George through the middle and moved Nkunku a bit further back. And Madueke was the big difference maker when he came on.
Yes, he was. I think Noni made a huge difference when he came on. He offered something different down that right-hand side, a bit of dynamism and pace. He tried things and, you know, he kind of created the first goal, really, and then he scored the other two. You know, he's up for 10 goals this season now. He's actually got more goals than Nicholas Jackson now, this season in all competitions. Jackson has 9 and, Noni now has 10. So, he changed the game, really made a big difference. And the second half was enjoyable to watch. First half wasn't. But I don't know if that's a deliberate tactic, whether we want to just play slow and control the game first half and then really go for it second half. I don't know.
I think he's trying to manage minutes more than anything, because obviously
I do think that
to lose certain players.
I did tweet that. He's kind of trying to, because we haven't got enough good enough squad because of certain people above him. He's having to, you know, manage minutes of our best players because he's going to have to play them in both competitions. And he doesn't want to get them injured, right?
That's not a reason for being so poor in the first half again. Like, second half, great. Yeah. You know, Madueke came on. I mean, I put Madueke on Colwell on make no sense, right? The reason I thought it didn't make sense was taking Palmer off. I don't know why he would do that. I thought you'd want your best players on the pitch to go and win a game of football. But hey, that's just me.
We won 3-0 without him on the pitch.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is right now that covers up the fact that we've been so poor in that first half, and it's a continuation of the same things we see from Enzo Maresca all the time.
I'm getting
one half, and I know you agree with me on this, by the way. This isn't me pointing it out to you, right? But we've had one good half of football, and everyone's automatically gone, oh my god, we're fucking great again. I'm like, it's Legia Warsaw. We should have been 3-0 up at the beginning of the first half.
That's a bit arrogant. I'm sorry. I just think that's really, like, I think Chelsea fans need to have a bit of humility.
Score. There's having humility, right? And there's basically being afraid of a team from the Polish league, which, again, all due respect to them, Chelsea should be absolutely pumping. Absolutely pumping.
Personally, I still think a lot of it comes down to the squad build, because, you know, we're having to play a right back at left back, so we have got no cover at left back. We're having to play a right back in midfield because we haven't really got any other options. We're going to get into a game with no striker because our already fit striker is back from injury.
I don't like the slow possession play, but I don't mind if we're keeping possession and then they're not having any chances. And, you know, we started to have chances at the end of the first half. I just don't want us to go gung-ho and all out attack and then concede. And then if we concede a goal on the counter attack, everyone says, oh, it's Maresca's fault because we went too gung-ho. So it's like, he can't. I don't think he can win at the moment. I think whatever he does, he's going to get. He's getting criticised for. The second half, we played a bit more like we did in the first half of the season, right? And he clearly got into them at half time as well, because they came out a different team in the second half. You know, and also
I still credit where it's due for that second half, right? Nonny Madueke came on, made a big difference. Thought he had, you know, a really good second half. I'm, as you very well know, I'm not his biggest fan. You know, hopefully he can continue this in games that matter down the line. Because it's all well and good scoring two goals against Legia Warsaw. Again, it's Legia Warsaw. If he's doing it in the Premier League week in, week out, we'll have a different conversation. I'll look silly and I'm absolutely fine with that, right? But overall, like, the one good 45 minutes of football in a week, like Brentford, awful. And of course, I know we didn't get to talk about that because so you were busy and I was moving flat. So at least I was doing something constructive in my time whilst I was watching that game. But it's just another instance where Enzo Maresca's style of football and his predictability is all over it again. And then obviously, again, we can give credit for the second 45 minutes, but that's not enough. It's not enough.
When you're playing against a low block, you can't go all gung ho and play quick all the time because you get caught out, and that's the problem.
But I get that score, but you can move the ball faster than them. They were moving it. That was pedestrian. There was no effort to actually try and break that low block. All it was everything we've taken the piss out of the past 20 years when Arsenal would try and walk it in all the time. There's no point having possession if you're going to do nothing with it. In that first half, we had absolutely nothing with it. And Teams is here, by the way. Sorry, I should have mentioned that earlier. But I just can't. One
good thing to get used to this football because it's sticking around. It's not going anywhere. Maresca's not going anywhere.
Bloody hope he is.
Well, he's not. Like, honestly, though, what is the point in changing managers again? These young players need some stability. And I, quite frankly, am sick and tired of this lazy, let's blame the manager for every problem at Chelsea and let's ignore other people who actually built the squad.
Hey, I'm not saying that. I'm
changing manager will not solve one problem. And Maresca is not as bad as you think he is.
sorry to interrupt. I agree and disagree with you. Listen, I've always got smoke for the sporting directors.
I genuinely
think they are really poor at their job. I think that they are probably the root of a lot of bad that's happening in the Chelsea squad. However, I'm probably leaning more towards getting rid of Maresca, but I'm not like, I need him out. I don't think he helps himself. I think that some of that football in the first half, I mean, that's what we've been seeing for 4 months. And I think he just tries to be a bit too clever, tries to, like, just about get away with stuff. Thankfully, I was out enjoying my life on Sunday and I didn't have to subject myself to what I read about the Brentford game. And I just think to myself, I looked at that team and I thought, this is not a manager who is desperate to win. He's not desperate to win. Do you know someone who, like, will win at, like, just needs to win, loves to win? Sorry, he's not a manager who loves to win. And I could tell by that the team that he put out, I think that was nothing short of a disgrace. Chelsea are going for top five and you put out a team like that. It's not serious.
My question on that is like, but Nicholas Jackson is just coming back from injury. If he plays him from the start and he gets injured, everyone says, why did he start him? You know, same with Cole Palmer. Why did he start him?
Right, Cole Palmer could have played 90 minutes. I still think Nicholas Jackson...
I just don't want us to lose our key players.
I understand that, but that can't
be... We're overplaying them, and the reason he's overplaying them is because he hasn't got any depth, and that's because of the sporting directors.
I understand that score, but it can't, like, not getting injured, like, being scared of players getting injured cannot be to the detriment of getting 3 points. We all know the importance of Champions League football next season. It is a must. 3 years without Champions League football would be an utter disgrace for a club the size of Chelsea. And if we don't get it, I'm sorry, Maresca has not met his met his target. And the thing is,
it means we have to start all over again.
I don't. But the thing is, I don't.
Wait.
Can I just make one point about people talking about not changing managers? Oh. I'm up for building a dynasty. Don't worry. Listen, I'm up for building a dynasty, allowing the managers have time with the right manager.
Yeah, people say that every year, though. They say it every year when it's like managers.
Yes,
like,
because
next year when we have a bad run of form, people say, "Oh no, maybe it's not this guy. Maybe we need another guy to be the dynasty manager."
No, but
a year later, it's the same again. So at some point, we have to be patient with a manager through a
cycle. Okay, but can I build on both?
Otherwise, we will not get back to where we want to be.
Can I build on both your points?
I'm tired of our ungrateful, spoilt fans not having any patience. It frustrates the hell out of me.
I want to build on both your points.
I've got questions for you guys as well.
Yeah. Right. We all watched PSG last night, right?
Yeah.
Cool. We all agree about our sporting director. We lost out on Luis Campos because we did something silly, right?
Yep, agreed.
That reinforces Scores' point, right? To reinforce Teams' point, Luis Enrique plays the Barcelona style of football that these people at the top of our club want to play, right? They want to play the sexy Pep Guardiola, tiki-taka, Lama style of football, right? Yeah? You watch that. And you watch the Chelsea team today. Chelsea going to the Champions League, they don't get out of the group stage. I'm being deadly serious. That's down to the sporting director, but it's also down to the man management and the tactical ineptitude and unwillingness to change of Enzo Maresca. Because in the game today, I get what you're saying about Nicholas Jackson. Absolutely, right? But he completely changed the style again. And he went, right, we'll put Christopher Nkunku up front. Again, proving regularly that he doesn't want to be here. He doesn't really perform, right? Again, didn't do that tonight. Again, right? Why does Enzo Maresca not go, do you know what? There's a kid who's in, and I know it's clutching at straws, admit, to be honest, guys. I get that, right? But guess what? Chelsea have got to use it at some point. There might be a kid in the under-18s who's 6'2", built like a brick shit house and can hold the ball up, which is what Nicholas Jackson's doing. He won't do it as well as Nicholas Jackson does it for us. He won't be the first choice, but he's a decent stopgap for somebody who can actually mean that we can have a continuation in a style of play that we want to deliver, right? This style of play that we want to deliver, which is apparently what PSG are doing, right? Apparently, because I'm sure that's what when Stanley and Stuart watching last night going, we can do that. Look, this is what we're doing, guys. You compare the two, it's like comparing apples and fucking guitars. Right, it's genuinely, I agree with what you're saying, Scott. You don't want to keep changing, right? But I also agree with teams. The only reason, as I don't know if you can see the tweet I put above, right? The only reason I've not jumped on the get him gone train is because who the hell's going to come in with any seriousness and any caliber that's going to want to work with the Chuckle Brothers? No one. And that first half is a prime example. And people might be listening, thinking, what you're saying, that I'm being spoiled. But Score, I'm looking at this, right? I'm looking at the progress they're saying they're making. There's very little progress. Enzo Maresca cannot seriously, as he said a couple of months ago, this team's better than it was in November or December. He can't say that seriously. And look at what we're producing at the minute.
All right, here's a question for you guys. I know you can't really compare clubs, but do you think Mikel Arteta is a good manager?
No.
No,
I don't.
He beat Real Madrid 3-0 yesterday.
And he's got a good chance of winning the Champions League, and Arsenal would arguably be favourites.
But they haven't won it. I'm sorry, I'm not having the Arteta manager. He's a good manager. I don't think he's a good manager because he's won one trophy in 5 years, and that was with a squad that wasn't his own. Until he goes, if he wins the Champions League,
our fans only want to give patience to a manager who's won something. When the idea of giving patience to a manager is you trust them before they've won something and you stick by them.
Didn't
win a trophy for 4 years at Liverpool and they barely made Champions League in that time. And they lost three finals.
But Score, we don't have Klopp literally won the Bundesliga. Maresca is not that manager. Let's be very honest.
He's only in his second season as a manager. We don't know if he's that manager or not yet. We don't.
No. I'm not going to give patience to a manager who hasn't proved himself at a high level.
And you've just literally encapsulated my problem. Yeah, and with our fan base. And we don't have any patience with anyone.
Yeah, but the thing is,
and that's not how it works.
Because we're Chelsea Football Club. We're not going to have patience for a man who almost lost a championship with a head start. I'm sorry. Like, you come to a club like Chelsea, you raise your level.
This attitude will not get success. It will just mean the same old thing.
I disagree with that.
You've got to give patience to somebody at some point. Otherwise,
The right manager.
This is where I grow a team.
No, I'm sorry. That is entitled to me. We're Chelsea.
We can only have
this manager and that manager. And if we don't like him, we're going to kick him out no matter how he does. Maresca is fourth in the Premier League, right? We've conceded far less goals than last season. We've created more chances than last season. We're higher in the league. We're on for more points. And we're in potentially in the European semi-final, and you want the manager out. To me, that is embarrassing.
That is an embarrassment to the club.
Like, other fans would look at that and think, well, how dumb are Chelsea fans for wanting the manager out and doing that?
Can I ask you two questions? So you say all of these metrics about Chelsea being better than last season. We went out of both cup competitions a lot earlier and he was relieved, basically. The other question I have for you is Pochettino. Would you have given him another season?
Well, I don't know. I mean, By the end of the season, I was open to it. Yeah. But actually, we're better than we were last season. We are. We just are.
Do you think the defence
is miles better than it was last season? And we've had six clean sheets in 8 games. When was the last time that happened?
Can I just remember? Did you just say that we conceded 4 less goals than last season?
No, we've conceded we've conceded about 37 goals this season. We conceded about 60 odd last season. 63 goals, I think it was. Last season, and we conceded 37 in the league this season.
Right. So if we finish on less points than Pochettino did last season, would you call that progress?
That's a difficult one because we should have signed this. But I actually think our squad is weaker than last season because we don't have Thiago Silva, we don't have Conor Gallagher, we haven't got a backup striker, and Cole Palmer's lost form this season, had a period of like where he's lost form. So I don't think we're actually as good. And we got rid of loads of players in January that we shouldn't have got rid of. I think we actually lost form in the summer window. What player that we signed last summer is now a key player?
Why has Cole Palmer lost form?
Because he's been overplayed. He hasn't had a break for 18 months.
But why else?
No, it's not to do with the manager. That's utter nonsense.
It's utter nonsense. I'm sorry. It's lazy and inaccurate
and doesn't even represent the data.
I'm not changing my mind on this. Okay, that's fine.
We should blame Maresca for everything, shouldn't we? If anything goes wrong, it's Maresca's fault. If anything goes right, it's somebody else's fault because it's definitely not Maresca's fault. Anything could happen. That is ungrateful. I'm sorry.
Do you know what?
They need to grow up. Our fans on the score for 5 minutes.
Chill out.
I'm going to get relegated. You're all pissed off to our
score.
Honestly.
Score.
It just pisses. Score. I'm sorry. This is a big thing for me.
Score. Hill. Okay.
It's a big thing for
Give
me.
It a second. Relax. I'm not asking you to change your perspective. All right.
I'm just telling you mine.
And I'm telling you now, you look at how we played our football last season. Wasn't everyone's cup of tea? And yeah, it was very gung-ho. And yeah, we conceded a lot of goals. But there was a certain freedom to certain players where we saw growth and we saw what they were best at. What I don't like about how we're playing our football is it is predictable. It is the same things all the time. You could map out how Chelsea are going to play their football. Players are pigeonholed and told to do very specific things in specific areas of the pitch. No one really takes people on. Unless it's like the second half today, which, by the way, as you said, was very much like earlier in the season when Chelsea were still doing that. But since December, I can categorically say we've all got eyes. Chelsea wingers do not take people on like they used to. There's no excitement to how we play our football. And I do think that lies with the manager and his tactics and how he does things. And I don't agree with it. I don't like it. It's very subjective. All right. I get that. But I don't like how he plays his football. I think it's rubbish. And granted, it also comes with the territory of what you're saying, where you say the sporting director is to blame as well because the squad is weaker. That I agree with. Right. So he's in a weak position. But if Chelsea do not get more points than they did last season, if they do not get a better league position, if they do not achieve more than they should be, then it's not progress.
I think the manager is the answer, is it? Is that the answer?
Get rid of all three of them. Get rid of all three of them.
But that's not going to happen, is it? It's just not going to happen, right?
Okay, but this is what I'm saying. So with that, right, changing the manager, granted, that's why I've said, look at the tweet I put above, right? The only reason I haven't sort of gone, get rid of him, he's shit, right? It's rubbish and I hate it. And all that stuff's true apart from get rid of him, because you can't get rid of him. Because no one, like I said earlier, with any substance or anything about them are going to work with the two sporting directors. But the mentality is a trickle down from them and the coach, right? Going to 12th place Brentford at the weekend and talking about it being a big result and a massive result for a team that have not won at home in God knows how many games. Right, Chelsea haven't won away from home in quite a few games, but Chelsea are, as you're saying, fourth, fifth in the league and apparently better.
We should have won that game with the chances.
It's that mentality, and then it trickles into, and the first half of today, again, it was just another example of the poor, lethargic, lackluster, over-intelligent, by the way. It's very Twitter tactico, right?
When I
listen to Emre Can in a press conference and how he talks about his football, and you look at how he plays like Reece James in centre midfield, doing this, we're going to invert, doing that. It feels like he's almost going, you lot are stupid, you don't get what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But the reality is, he's not doing it.
Maybe he's right.
He's dying his beard to make himself interesting.
He's
mate.
A football
he's
coach, and we're not.
Can I just say one thing? Sorry, I've actually got to go because I need to eat my dinner. But I think if Maresca finishes top four, or top five, sorry, he finishes top five, and he wins Europa Conference, he can stay. I don't really care. I don't feel that deep about him. But if he wins conference and doesn't get top four, for me personally, that isn't good enough. And I think if he doesn't do either, he's also got to go. But I love the passion. I understand why.
I'm sorry, mate. I apologize. I've just been a fan for a long time.
Never ever apologize. Because you have one view, me and Louis have another, but it doesn't mean that we're going to fall out over it.
No, I respect it.
I understand.
Let's fight each other. Sorry, Karen.
I respect it a lot because, and I understand I understand your point of view. And believe me, I also want to back a manager who's going to be at Chelsea for a long time, but I can't do it unless they bring me along with their journey. I do understand that.
Like, I absolutely understand that. And like, he's not endeared himself to a lot of Chelsea fans, has he?
Yeah. And the point that Louis made is the way that he talks about to Chelsea fans, which I actually think is an ownership sporting director issue as well, is that they talk to us like we're children. They patronise us. We don't understand. We don't have the intelligence. So if you don't have that, and also I'm seeing the football that I've been seeing for the last 4 months and is testament to what we saw in the first half, I'm not going to be like backing you and saying, yeah, you definitely need to stay. However, if he gets the results, I'll be the first one to say, you know what? Fair enough. He did what he needed to do, and I can't wait for next season.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think, like, one thing as well, I had a look at this. The last 8 games that we've played in all competitions, we've won 6, drawn 1 and lost 1, and that was to Arsenal. And we scored 12 goals, I think. And so we're not, like, it's not actually like we're losing a lot of games, and we're not conceding goals. As long as we, like, I honestly, honestly, I don't mind if we play boring football if we win.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how boring it is. If we win 38 league games 1-0 and it's boring and we win the league, I don't care because we won the league. Like, and I know that that's not ideal. Like Maresca's style is not my style at all. It's not the style I would want to play. I prefer, you know, kind of transitional football. The football we played in the first half of the season is what I prefer. If we play like that under Maresca, I'll be happy. And I still think he wants to play like that. That's one of the reasons I'm still backing him, is that I think ideally he would play like that. It's just that we don't have, I just don't think we have the attacking options.
See, like, I've got a slightly different take on it all.
But yeah, go on then. Rambles.
I was watching the Manchester Derby on Saturday, and after our game, Gary Neville made a lot of good points, which I completely agreed with. You know, and Miguel Delaney, the journalist, pointed this out after the game. Two teams going for top 4/5, but both local derbies, and both games ended 0-0. And I think there's a kind of, I don't know if there's a hunger and desire in the players as they kind of used to be. You know, it seemed like on Sunday, you know, Manchester Derby, you know, in the past, players would have been desperate to win that game, but they just kind of accepted the draw. Gary Neville joked, you know, they'll all be going out for Sunday dinner with each other afterwards. He was really angry. He couldn't believe what he was watching. And it was the same in our game. It was a local derby. It didn't feel like a local derby.
It's football, isn't it? It's the culture of football that's changed, not just... I think it's just a Chelsea thing. It isn't. I don't think it is. I mean, like, you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, Gary Neville was... I thought he was spot on with those comments. I did. You know, like, there's... That's one of the things that Pep Guardiola seems to have sucked out of football is, like, you know, the spontaneity, the flexibility, the, you know, and I miss that. I mean, like I said, Maresca's, like, possession-based style with all control isn't my preferred style of play. If I could have had a manager that didn't do that and gave players free, attackers freedom, and to express themselves, that's what I would prefer if it were me. But I wouldn't have hired him last summer. I would have hired someone else. But, like, he's here, and, like, and I, if we were like 8th or 9th or something, I would be wanting him gone as well.
But we're
still 4th. There's only 7 games left, and other teams have to play each other around us, and they're not in. And I looked at actually the last 5 league games, we've got 10 points. I think Nottingham Forest have 10 points, Villa and Newcastle have 12 points, and City have 8 points. So everyone is in the same kind of form. So it's not like one is pulling away from the other, or that, you know, or we're suddenly losing loads of games. Like, so I don't, like, if we can keep the clean sheets up and we can get Palmer and Jackson scoring again and Nonny can score a few more, we'll probably get through.
Do you know, like, what so, it is cool? I think, first of all, I agree with Chelsea Rambles. I think also Maresca's part of that problem in terms of the football he plays. Well, he's played recently.
Yeah.
But I think that, in order for Chelsea fans to really believe that Maresca is going to get top 5, he needs a big win. And I'm not talking about Tottenham. I'm talking about the Newcastle away. I'm talking about the Liverpool at home. And even to a certain extent, Manchester United as well. He needs a big win. Like, I think Chelsea fans look at it, look at the performances that we are churning out, looking at the goals kind of drying up and where we are, and thinking, and looking at the remaining fixtures we have and thinking, oh, this isn't going to be good. Because you need, you know what I mean? You need to, like, the second half performance, if Chelsea were performing like that, no fan will be sitting here and saying, I don't really believe Maresca should go, or Chelsea are not going to finish in top 5. But so many Chelsea fans, including myself, are not confident that we're going to finish in the top 5, considering, I know everything you said about the points that, and the goals and stuff, but I'm looking at the performances and I'm thinking, I think this is going to be so, I just don't see this ending well. He needs a big win. He needs to go to Liverpool.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, like, Liverpool at the weekend, they weren't great at all. Like, they're not in good form at the moment, Liverpool. You know, they're kind of falling over the line rather than, like, coasting over it. And we're at home. We've won our last 5 games at home. So, you know, I mean, like, if we can get something out of that game, even if it's just a point, that'd be great. You know, we could even nick a win. You know, I mean, it'd probably be like 2-1 or something like that. Rather,
where's
than...
this confidence come from in you? Me and you are never like this normally. I don't like this.
No, I mean, what's going on? Just because I'm like, well, I'm looking at our, you know, our results recently, and like, you know, we're not losing 3-0 every week. We're not conceding many chances. We've only conceded like two shots on target a game for the last 6 or 7 games. So we're not even conceding that many chances. So, you know, like, and so I, like, it's not brilliant football. I'm not saying it is. And also because my confidence also is that Parr and Jackson are rested and are coming back. So, you know, and they can't keep on with the bad form forever. It has to come back at some point, especially Palmer. True. Palmer's too good to not come back, you know, and not start scoring a few goals again. And
I think, guys, I'm going to go, but good teams.
We've got tons of requests. So let's get them up and let's hear from you about this game.
So we'll rattle.
We need to do the Rambles rant at some point, but we'll get to that in a minute. So
all the people, because I know there's a lot of people that requested. We had four or five requests at one point. We're up to 3 again now. If you are still listening and you want to get in the request, what we do, in case you're new around here, it's one person at a time. We don't all come in and start screaming at each other. What happened about 10 minutes ago? was very much an anomaly. We'll bring you in one at a time. Nana's been waiting a while, so Nana Grant is coming in now. Emma, we see you in the requests. And of course, more of you. If you do want to get involved, please make sure you request to get involved with the Final Score Show. But with all that being said, we should have Nana in the speakers. We do not. He's gone. Right. We'll try again. We've got Emma, who was coming up now. So Emma, she can come into the speakers now. But guys, please do request to get involved. We want to hear what everyone has to say start chatting. Yes. But Emma is in the speakers now. Would you like to unmute?
Hi, Emma.
Looking at our fixtures for the Premier League, you know, you go through the fixtures and then you look at yourself and like, which team are you beating aside Ipswich? And that's sad, you know, because it means we are the weaker team there, you know, because you don't see yourself beating Liverpool. You don't see yourself taking points from Newcastle. So, and these are the people you're competing for the last 5 or 4. The question is, over the course of this, of the league, if you look at Maresca, you look at his tactics. Like this first half, it was so boring. Like, it was so boring. Like, you feel like you want, there's nothing like. So I'm asking myself, if you play Liverpool this way, you play Newcastle this way, by the time the first half go to an end, you are 3-0 down, 4-0, the game is over for you. And we have owners, we have sporting directors who, like Maresca is the go-to person. Sometimes it's sad watching Chelsea now because you don't see like this attacking football, this like obsessed attacking, play, control the game. It's not taking us anywhere. Look at Arsenal. Arsenal off the ball, so compact. With the ball, speed, aggression. Like, you could feel they can score at any time. I don't like Arteta, but sometimes when you watch them, the way they are well organized in defense and attack, you feel like, yeah, you're watching something. If you watch Newcastle play, that it reminds you of Chelsea of old, the way they play, the way they defend, the way they win balls, the way they attack. That's Chelsea.
Yeah, I agree, Emma. I agree that like there is a style of football that Chelsea play that we're used to seeing. It's typical Chelsea, right? The kind of more transitional, high intensity, aggressive football that we were used to. Like we saw under Conte, we saw under Mourinho, saw under Carlo Ancelotti, especially. Like that's the style that Chelsea fans ultimately want. That's what I would prefer.
Honestly, I would say about Arteta, I think he's got better as the squad's developed. So, you know.
I think that's it. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, if you want to play this way, like if I want to play this way as Maresca, then you're talking about players like the Silvers, the Gundogans, and we don't have these players. You don't want Enzo Fernandez cannot play like Gundogan. He cannot play. Like last week, Guardiola said,
"We don't have the players to play this kind of football." That's what
I
actually agree with you. I think like that's the, and again, that's not Maresca's fault. That's the people above him who've built this squad, and need to be held accountable. And I think we all agree. That's something we all agree on. Is that
but the thing is, where I have problem with Maresca is the fact that you don't have the materials to play the way you want to. So you have to adapt. You have to change. You have to, because we've been playing this weekend. It's not helping. Trust me. Top five is going to be very difficult to get. I don't see us getting top five. Like the best we can do is 6 or 7, maybe, but top five and the way we are even not scoring from Palmer, from Nico, this is going to be, we in for a run for these 7 games. Trust me.
I do think partly that's the younger manager, the younger current manager. They're very, they stick to their principles in terms of style of play. If you look at Amrin at Manchester United, you know, people who, their fans say, we don't have the players to play how he wants to play, but he's sticking to it. You know, they're very rigid. You know, they're not going to move away from their plan. Whereas managers in the past would have been more adaptable. But I think managers nowadays, it's my way or the highway.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's more fashionable than football now. I do think football has changed to the point where the way you get success now, you can't just go in and spend a load of money and win instantly, because too many clubs have money now. It's not just about the manager. It's about the structure. It's about recruitment, sporting directors, it's a project thing. I'm not Arteta's biggest fan, but I also give respect to him because he went through a period where all the fans wanted him out. All the fans wanted him to go. They were bored of the football. They're like we are, like some of us are, like, because it was the same kind of football that we're playing now. But the club stuck with him and they backed him in the market. They gave him proper players, now they just beat Real Madrid 3-0 in the Champions League. And that is not an easy thing to do.
It's not an easy thing to watch as a Chelsea fan.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Watching Champions League, watching Arsenal do what you think Chelsea should be doing, you know? It's sad.
And Arteta's only won one trophy as a manager, and that's because that was largely due to Anthony Taylor. And we all know that because we were there. But, he's not won anything. But, you know, they look like they're getting close to it. I mean, they're only, if they get like Guy Perez and they Nico Williams in the summer, they're going to be even better next season, right? So, they're the best defence in the league, I think. 28 goals conceded. You can criticise Arteta, but he's actually built something there. They're that close to winning something. You know, I hope they don't win the Champions League this season. That would be so depressing. Liverpool winning the league and Arsenal winning the Champions League in the same season.
Oh, it'd be absolutely nightmare.
Football hell.
That's dangerous for a Chelsea fan. You know, you don't want that.
Yeah. So we got anyone else, Louis? Got anyone else coming up?
I'm not seeing anything here, but Emma, thank you very much for coming up, man. We really appreciate you coming up on stage.
All right, guys.
Okay, we'll get to the Rambles rave, because there is a rave today. You think we've lost the way we were?
Is it? I mean, based on what we're talking about so far, Rambles, you sure you want to be a rave? What's going on, man?
It's definitely going to be a rave tonight.
Crack on.
So it's going to be a Madueke, but it could have easily been on George or Jude. We all had a good game, but I think Madueke changed the game when he came on at half-time. He was taking players on. He looked confident. And we just looked a much better team when he came on.
We did.
And I would say he's arguably been, I think it's probably close between he and Neto, our best wingers this season.
I think he's been one of our best wingers. I mean, he's got 10 goals now in all competitions. I think a lot of those are in the Premier League as well. I think he's got 7 Premier League goals or something like that.
He has, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, he's got 4 assists as well. You know, so we're asking for goals from our wingers. Well, he's providing them, you know, and we needed them today. We absolutely needed them because we were, you know, it was 0-0 when he came on, and we needed to get goals. I mean, he gave them to us. So, yeah, fair play to him. Like, he's a frustrating player, Nollywood Wake. Like, because 1 minute he can be like he was in the second half today, and in another game he can just be completely anonymous. And it's really frustrating. Is what do you think of Nollywood Wake, Louis? I know you don't like him, but like today.
Not like when I say not like, we all know how that sounds on the internet, unfortunately, because no one's got any nuance.
Yes.
He infuriates me because he does some really good things like he did tonight, or like he did against Wolves at the beginning of the season. He rides that wave like he's the best thing since sliced bread, and then he completely falls off a cliff again. He's so inconsistent, and it drives me nuts. If there was some element of consistency to his game to back up how he behaves as well sometimes,
yeah,
where I'm kind of sitting there going, mate, like, just shut up, like, go away. Like, when he was on a really poor run of form, he's like, turn around to everyone in the crowd going, come on, man, like, get going, guys. Come on, get behind. It's like, give us something to get excited about. You know, don't just expect us to start being really cheery and happy and getting right behind the team if there's nothing, if we're not seeing anything which is helping us get there. You know, it's that sort of thing. It's like, if he carries on with how he did tonight, and he does that at the weekend against Ipswich, and he does that against whoever we're playing after that, and and there's an element of consistency, and even if it's a little purple patch at the end of the season, it's more consistent than he's been the entirety of this campaign. But the fact is, and I hate this word, statistically, he's our best winger. And that's what makes me really, really annoyed and pisses me off, because it's like, we kind of have to play him, but which one are you going to get? You want to see the best version of them week in, week out. And I just don't think we get enough of it from him.
I agree with those criticisms. I think that he is too inconsistent. And he does get full of himself. He absolutely does. There's no doubt about that. And we see that with him, like last season when he was trying to nick the ball off Palmer to take penalties all the time, right? You know, he gets too full of himself after one performance, right? And I agree. And, I mean, I wouldn't be, if we sold him this summer, I wouldn't necessarily be upset if we sold him, if we bought someone in better on that position. I remember getting Estevao, who's probably going to play that position and probably has a higher ceiling than him. But that's the reality. He's got 10 goals and 4 assists. So he's got a better product than any other Chelsea winger this season.
He's just so hot and cold in his performances.
Yeah. But today he deserves his flowers, absolutely. Because now we've got a 3-0 lead going into the second leg, which means we don't have to play our first team in our first choice 11 in that second leg. You know, we can just kind of control the game, you know, get 1 or 2-0, whatever, and just with our second choice players. Also, I think one person I want to talk about today is Tyreek George. Like, because he's played a lot this season in the Conference League. Maresca's given him a lot of opportunities. He's almost scored a few times. He's had some assists. I mean, he's only, 17, I think? But he's still quite raw. So we're not expecting miracles from him yet. But I think he deserved that goal today for just what he's done this season. And it's a great moment for him, you know, and his family, because it's his first ever professional goal, first goal for Chelsea, and it was an important one. It was a really important one. So, I'm giving him his flowers today as well. Do you think he was good today, Rambles?
Yeah, I thought he was really good. And I don't know, there's something special about when an academy player gets their first goal. Absolutely. You always get like it's just like a nice feeling. It's a different feeling as when a player you sign scores goals. You just love to see academy players doing well.
Yeah, and Josh Achempong played today, and I thought he was magnificent.
He had a very good game.
He was superb. He was close to being man of the match for me. Like, he looks so calm on the ball, so good in possession. He gets forward into good positions. Got a presence. You know, he's very tall. He's just got a touch of class about him, you know. And you know, if Trevor Chalobah is leaving, which he probably will, I don't mind as much if we've got if Josh is here, because Josh is he just looks a really, really top young talent. And you know, he's getting more minutes now. He's getting a few got a start today, and he deserved it. And I, you know, I wouldn't be against him starting at the weekend, because I think he's earned it today. What about you, Lou? What do you think of Josh?
He's looking good. I've just seen an interesting quote from Ben Jacobs, where Maresca's turned around and said that, you know, he is Josh. The quote, direct quote, is Josh is the one I fell in love with tonight, with how he played. And I think I just want to see more of him. You know, it's him and Tyreek George. You know, they're two youngsters who I think Tyreek George, especially given how poor Jadon Sancho's been over the past, you know, six games he's been starting. You know, I'd like to see Tyreek George be given a run in the team or given an opportunity. You know, Josh Edgemore, we're talking about how, you know, we don't have cover at left back or right back, or, you know, earlier in the season when we were struggling at centre back and he went in there. You know, this is a player who we kept around and brought to the scene set because he's a utility man who can play in all three positions. Use him there. Let him do it. Do it more frequently. Don't always rely on having to switch players who aren't quite right. Just take the opportunity to put those lads in there.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Maresca's actually given a lot of debuts to academy players this season in the Conference League.
And that's great, but let's start doing it in the Premier League as well. Let's start seeing them. They're
good. Yeah, I mean,
there's policy apparently, so prove it.
My argument has always been that, and I think this is a common thing, even Frank Lampard did this, like when things get tough, managers tend to go for experience. And actually, Frank Lampard did say that's what managers should do. I think as a pundit once, before he became Chelsea manager. And he did it when we were not doing well. He relied on experience. It's just a thing that they do. And I don't always agree with that. And I'm like you. I think we should just give these players opportunities because I think they're good enough. I think Josh is good enough to start every week in the Premier League, honestly, especially against Ipswich. I mean, for goodness sake. You know, if you can't play him against Ipswich, who can you play him against? And I would play him above Gusto at the moment, at right back, even left back, to be honest. He's that good. But like Ramble said, it's always happy when an academy player comes in and does well, and especially if they score, because it's just something about your own players coming in. You've been at the club since they were kids and you've seen them develop, and then they come in and score and do well, and it's almost like a parental thing. You know, you feel like you've got a special attachment to them because they're academy players, right? And that's, and so it's good to see George and Josh in the first team squad. I hope they're both in the first team squad next season as well. So good stuff. Now, that brings me to, I just want to talk about quickly the match review, 3-minute match review from Louis, which will be out after this. After this call, it'll be out tonight. Always worth a listen. Louis always worth a listen with his, and I'm sure it'll be an interesting one tonight. So
I'll be miserable if only one.
Yeah. So that's on all podcast platforms. So wherever you get your podcasts, go and find our voice note review from the Chelsea Echo. Always worth a listen. Yeah. So I actually wanted to talk about Jadon Sancho. Now I wanted to talk about him before the match, but actually, he actually got two assists today. And actually, I thought he had a pretty good game. So it's made this conversation even more interesting, because the story came out just before the game that Chelsea are not going to sign Jadon Sancho permanently, that he's going to go back to Manchester United, probably. That was from Kieran Gill in the Daily Mail. He can be pretty reliable sometimes. So, so I wanted to talk about him tonight. And I said, actually, before the game, he's bound to score a goal or get an assist now that that's come out. Like, and he got two assists. So, yeah, like, Rambles, Jadon Sancho, like, would you keep the sell? And do you think letting him go is a good idea?
I'm really torn, because he was a player I wanted for many years. Now, I was excited when he first came. You know, his first few performances, I thought, hang on, we could be getting an absolute bargain here. But as the season's gone on, I just don't think he's cut out for the Premier League. I think he probably is suited to a league like the Bundesliga, where it's a bit slower pace. And I just think long term, he's not the answer, sadly. As much as I really did want it to work, I'm just now of the opinion that I just don't think he's suited to the Premier League.
Yeah, what about you, Lee? What are your thoughts on Jadon Sancho?
I have no thoughts on Jadon Sancho anymore. It's the same stuff over and over. I agree with Rambles. Just Jane, just go and enjoy your football in the Bundesliga. That's where you're good.
I think that's a fair comment. That's a fair comment. So a follow up to that. That means, like, because Mudryk's not going to be around next season, that we're going to need that Torre George is probably going to have to stay, which is good. That's good because he'll get more opportunities. But we need to sign a left winger, and we've been linked with left wingers. It's been said that the left wing and striker are two kind of priority positions. Not to say you won't sign other players, but and the one of the biggest things that come out is actually a Dortmund player, believe it or not. Gittins, yes, that's right.
God, and I'm pretty well clear of that one.
What I've heard, I think I'd be pretty confident we might sign him. So, I'm not going to ask you what you think of it, Louis, because I already know. another toddler. I can already hear from your voice what you think. Well, Rambles, what do you think of Jamie Gittins?
Well, I do like him, and I think he's got a huge potential. But if it was up to me, the player I'd ideally go for is Semenyo from Bournemouth, because I think he's 25, he'll be 26 in a few months, I believe. And he's had a lot of Premier League experience, and I think he's got about seven or eight league goals last season. I think he's got about 8 or 9 this season. You know, he's got a bit of consistency to his game, to me, he's ready to make that step up. And I think he's just of a good age, and he's the type of profile we do need.
I agree. I absolutely. Semenyo is my first choice as a winger signing for the same reasons.
Are you ready to hear Benevente building in full flow?
Oh, I'm excited. I'll probably agree with it because we usually like the same players.
We don't sign a left winger. What we do
sign
two strikers and you play Nicholas Jackson.
Who, by the way,
he's already proven he's very good there. He's got the skill. He's direct. He's someone who has a presence. He's got fantastic link up play. He's somebody who I feel could maybe fill. It could almost be like a second striker role. A bit like, think for those that are seasoned and hopefully there's enough here that are old enough to remember it clearly. Mm-hmm. Think Anelka when he was playing.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, mate.
Yeah,
exactly what I was thinking.
You have that. And then you sign, I think Leon Delap looks like it might happen. I'm touching every piece of wood because I don't want to have another Declan Rice situation on my hands. We see a Leon Delap situation where he signs for Chelsea, and I'd go and sign Victor Gyökeres. Those would be my two signings. And I think that gives Chelsea a very capable number 9 and one who's only going to get better. You have a third option if things get really, really tight. With Nicholas Jackson, you've got Tyreek George, you've got Pedro Neto, you've got Noni Madueke, you'll have Estevao Willian, you've got Andre Santos coming to strengthen that midfield. I think it's a no-brainer personally, but hey, it's too intelligent to think of.
I don't want to ruin your great idea.
Yeah.
I did read before that Leon Delap only wants to go to a club where he's going to be first choice.
Yeah, he's not going to. If we sign Gyökeres, he's not coming here.
And then sign Gyökeres. Boom, problem solved.
If you sign the two strikers, I can. I think, especially because Leon Delap is only going to cost like 30 million. I mean, that is, if we don't sign him, it's just like unbelievable. Because not only is it a player that we really, really want and like, and our scouts like, but Opportunity FC, like 30 million quid. And he is definitely better than 30 million quid. And has potential bigger than 30 million quid. It'll be a bargain if we get him for that. Sadly, I think if we signed him, we wouldn't be able to sign Gyökeres and sign him. As much as that would be awesome, and I would, in an ideal world, we would do that. I think Gyökeres is going to Arsenal, unfortunately, which is not good, But I think that's a good option as well, Louis. I mean, I like both of those options. I think, but who are we? We're just fans, right? We're not sporting directors, so we don't get paid thousands, hundreds of thousands of pounds to sign players. But what do we know, eh? okay, yeah. So that's I thought that was an interesting topic to talk about, just because I think that's an area that we're gonna look at in the market. And Sancho is kind of been a hot topic recently. Yeah, he actually had a shot tonight and he got two assists. It's his first game contribution since December. I actually think that's what it is, which is quite embarrassing, really. But okay. The next thing I wanted to talk about is the centre-back situation. Like, this is a topic that we haven't covered recently, but it's been in the news a lot. Chelsea keep getting linked with, Dean Huijsen from Bournemouth. David Ornstein saying he's going to move in the Premier League this season, and we're one of the clubs that's spoken to his reps in the last week. And also links to Mark Guhi, who Louis and I love, but apparently wants Newcastle over Chelsea, according to some people, anyway, not necessarily reliable people, but some people. And then there's other players we've been linked with, other centre backs we've been linked with as well. So, like, it's going to be an interesting thing that happens with the centre backs, because we already know we've got Saar coming from Strasbourg, provided that still goes through. And then we're going to have a lot of centre backs, so we're going to have to get rid of a lot if we're going to bring another one in. So, what's your thoughts on that centre back situation? And I'll start with Ramos, because I think I know what Louis is. But let's start with Ramos. Who would you bring in at centre back if we sign a centre back?
I would just edge towards Guehi, because I think obviously he's got more Premier League experience and he's Crystal Palace captain, and he's the kind of profile we do need. But saying that, I think Huijsen's got such a high ceiling. I think he could go on to be one of the best defenders in world football. He's that good. So I wouldn't be unhappy if we did sign him, but I would prefer Mark Guehi, because I just think he's more of a profile we need.
Okay.
And in terms of sales, I think Chalobah will be sold, De Sassi will be sold, and I would possibly move on Badiashile.
I don't think I'm going to want to buy De Sassi after last night.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
He showed his true colours last night, didn't he?
The joy of actually watching a winger run at somebody. It's so nice when it actually happens.
It is. It is nice when it happens, isn't it? Yeah. those are the days. Okay, we've got a request. So let's get them up. We'd love to hear from you and hear what you've got to say about anything we've talked about today. Or something completely different, as long as it's Chelsea related. So, it has to be Chelsea related, of course. So, Mo, welcome. And what have you got to say?
Thank you, first of all. Secondly, I don't know. I just heard Sancho's name come up, and I was afraid you were going to defend him and be in the camp of the fans that want Chelsea to sign him on a permanent basis, because I personally don't see a world or reasoning why we should sign him on a permanent. But it's been, 4 years of Clear Lake, or 3.5 years, however long it's been. And I think they made a good reputation for themselves in terms of making signings that don't make sense. So I personally think we're going to see Sancho stay at Chelsea and just have him maybe as some sort of impact sub. I hope that's the biggest role he gets. And it also seems like Maresca's a fan of him. So I don't know. I'm not too optimistic on that front. Maybe 25 million in this market looks like nothing, but it's still, if it's 25 million on Sancho, then it's 25 million wasted, in my opinion.
The only reason I see
that happening, right? And again, this is me probably being too smart. I'd take that 25 million signing and then just flip him. I feel like even if it was 5 million, I could see Chelsea making profit on selling Jadon Sancho, and flipping him straight away.
Chelsea want a player from Borussia Dortmund, a winger. And, of course, Sancho is a winger who's played for Borussia Dortmund and done well there. They probably would take him back. there's a PSR deal to be done absolutely right there. if we don't sell them Kylie Chakomeka, which we still could, and he's playing well for them at the moment, actually. Scored last week. There's definitely a PSR deal that could be done with Borussia Dortmund in one way, shape or form. And the only reason I think they would buy Sancho is so they could flip it like that. But I don't think they'll do that, because you don't want to get a reputation for doing that. It's not a good thing to do. And we only have to pay 5 million. And we didn't pay a loan fee, so basically that would just be a loan fee. You know, pay 5 million, he goes back to Man United, it's their problem. And we can just get on and bring in the wingers that we want. I think that's the best thing to do. Yeah. Yeah, no, we're not defending Sancho anymore. Earlier in the season, yeah, he was playing really well. He got a lot of assists and stuff, and he scored that really good goal against Tottenham. But since that goal against Tottenham, he's just not done anything, really, until today. So, and I love Sancho, honestly. I was one of the people that wanted him, and I still think he's got loads of talent. I just think he's not using it. Like, he's just not, like Ramos said, not suited to the Premier League. Who would you want to bring in, Mo, as a winger?
So there is, I forgot the guy's name. He starts with a Z. He plays in the French league for Lille. He's a right winger, but I guess he also doesn't fit our profile because we want to look for what, 25 and under or 26 and under. This guy's maybe 26. Zergova, I think is his name. He's really like a very efficient winger. He has goals and assists in him. He's direct. He's literally what we want. Because honestly, for me, apart from Medweke, and Medweke is not even the most consistent, but apart from him, we don't have any wingers that are efficient, that actually understand the role. Modern day winger has changed. It's not what your Theo Walcott and Aaron Lennon's of the good old Barclays era. Right now, you need wingers that are thinking about numbers like efficiency, output, goals and assists, taking their men on. I don't even understand how these guys can classify themselves as wingers when they refuse to take on a man. And I see way too many, Twitter users here defending, our wingers sitting there being doubled up. Maresca doesn't platform the team for them correctly for them to be utilized efficiently. But at the end of the day, how many wingers around the world do you see doubled up 2-on-1 just because they're that good? Prime example, Bukayo Saka, who is not even the best dribbler in the league. But he finds ways to get out of those situations and create overloads for his team, create chances, create something out of nothing, getting into the back post when he needs, taking shots from distance when he needs. We don't have any of that. Like, whenever I see a lineup on the weekend, I mean, I'm going on a rant, I'm sorry, but whenever I see a lineup on a weekend or like midweek, you look around the team and you don't even know where the goal's going to come from. Genuinely, if it's not Cole Palmer or Enzo lately, or Medweke now since he's at his back, our attacking players do not fill me with confidence. I love Nicholas Jackson, but again, at the end of the day, I don't see him putting in numbers consistently. When's the last time he scored a goal? I know he was injured for a while, but
yeah.
we need goal scorers. We need people or players who are known for numbers. We don't have that on our team. We don't have numbers.
Well said. That's a really good point. Really good point. Yeah, great stuff, Mo. What striker would you be signing? Who would be your number one striker signing?
I'm a huge fan of Delap, to be completely honest with you, because to me, he has everything and he's 22. He has a lot to learn. Sadly, we don't have any experienced striker for him to learn off of, but I do think he's that type of player who just learns from experience because he's been, in my opinion, growing as the season has been going on. Playing for a relegation team, he has 12 goals in the league. He runs off the ball. He presses a lot. He's really good on the ball. He's technical. He knows how to strike a ball. He can create. He can hold up, link up. And he has that bit of an edge. Like, he reminds me a bit of Diego Costa, actually.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's who I always compare him to. Yeah.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of Diego Costa, the dog in him. And to be honest with you, like, I don't think England over the years have let us down in terms of producing strikers. The one thing England produces consistently is a good number nine. And I'm not against the number nine, an English number nine leading our line. Football heritage tells you that we need an African up front, but I don't know, Nicholas Jackson, as much as I love him, it's not really working. So yeah, I'm for Delap, all for Delap.
Yeah, I think a lot of Chelsea fans would like Liam Delap. He's got that shithousery about him as well. Like you say, that dog. He's got that dog in him. And yeah, I mean,
it seems like we're too nice.
Ipswich don't create as many chances as we do. If he was here, he would be getting loads more chances than he currently gets.
And he has like when he gives you the option to put the ball in the box. To be completely honest with you, yeah, Nicholas Jackson doesn't give us that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You can have like Reece James or Nonny or whoever's wide, mm-hmm. or have someone to go like to hit the ball into the box. Like tonight, like, and this is Christopher Nkunku all over, I suppose, at the moment. Nkunku wasn't there in the box ever to get on the end of a cross. Sometimes it was just Kane and Dewsbury Hall who was making the run into the box.
Honestly, it was Dewsbury Hall, exactly. It seemed like he was our striker.
Yeah, it was just, yeah, I mean, like, if you have Kieran, if you have Leon Delap playing tonight, you probably score about two more goals at least. He probably gets a couple because he'd be in the box waiting for those crosses, you know. And he's a bully. That's the thing as well. He bullies defenders, so he creates space for players around him. So he creates space for Cole Palmer and, you know, Esteban Willian maybe. Like, and, you know, then it's more difficult to mark Palmer out of the game. So it makes it more difficult and for our opposition. It makes it better for us. So I think it's a no-brainer that we sign him. I really do. Like, and hopefully we get that done. I know that Simon Phillips, who we all know and is a reliable journalist, reported today that we've opened talks with him and Ipswich, I think. So
really,
I think we want to get that done before the Club World Cup. So
you know what that means? He's scoring against us on the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's definitely scoring against us on the weekend. Yeah. It's just, we can still win though. We just have to score two goals. That's all. I think there's a general consensus building around Leon Delap for Chelsea. Hopefully that happens. Well, thank you, Mo. Thanks for coming up.
Yeah, thank
you. I really appreciate that. And, it's been a good show tonight. Chelsea have won 3-0. We had a bit of debate earlier, which was interesting. And then we've had some good conversation since. But we're in a good position now to get into the semi-finals, which is where we should be. We've got a big game coming up against Ipswich at the weekend, which we need to win in the Premier League. Another clean sheet tonight, which is positive. Josh Achimpong, brilliant tonight. I just saw in the scene the stats. 90 minutes played, 2 block shots, 2 interceptions, 1 tackle, 107 touches, 97% pass accuracy. 2 key passes, 1 out of 1 long balls completed. 4 out of 8 grand duels won, 2 out of 2 dribbles completed. It was a great performance from him. Also a great performance from Nonny Madueke in the second half. So really pleased we got the win. Just some final thoughts from Rambles and then from Louis.
Yeah, I think second half is so much better than the first half. And if we can, hopefully we can just carry on playing to that level. Because if we do, you know, I'm confident we'll win a few of the tougher away games if we play like we did in the second half. And that's the key thing for us. I don't think we've won away since the Tottenham game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we want to get top four/5, we desperately need to get some points on the road. So we've got to be looking to win the Fulham game. 100% need to win that game.
Yeah. That's right. And Ipswich at the weekend. Yeah, we can now rest players for the second leg, which is really positive. We don't need to play Palmer, Jackson, Enzo, Caicedo, whatever, in the second leg. Also, actually, it's another positive tonight. Enzo and Caicedo didn't play. They got a rest, which they needed. So they should be fresh for the weekend. That's another good thing. Louis, your final thoughts on today?
Make football great again.
Alright, so you can find the voice note review will be out after this show this evening, and then this will be available as a podcast tomorrow, all on your favourite podcast platforms. Make sure you do check them out, all worth listening to. And and also follow the Chelsea Echo Twitter account. And always good content, so make sure you check that out as well, and give everyone here a follow as well. Louis, Rambles, myself, give everyone a follow. It's worth it. All great accounts.
Why is it worth it? I feel like we should plug why we're so good. Oh, Rahman's in the listeners.
Oh, Rahman's here. I was just summing up, and Rahman's here.
See, I feel I want Rahman's take on today.
I do. I would love one.
I know we're wrapping up, right? But the reason why let's all sell each other. Let's all tell each other, everyone, why we should follow each other. So basically, say why we're so great. So, Score, why is Ramble so great?
Why is Ramble so great? Because Ramble is a voice of calm, rational thoughts on Chelsea. He doesn't get worked up. Doesn't get into meltdowns on Twitter. Just says what he thinks and that's it. And, always nice. And doesn't tweet like all the time, but when he does tweet, it's worth reading. That's my advocacy for for Ramble.
I also would like to set a challenge for Rambles by the end of the season.
Oh, Rambles, I'm up for a challenge.
You need to be on 1,000 followers by the end of the football season. That's
okay. I'll try and get to 1,000.
Yeah,
I think we can do it. For everyone in this space, if you've enjoyed it, make sure you give everyone a follow. Let's try and help Rambles get to 1,000 followers, because as the school said, he is fantastic.
Come on, get Rambles to 1,000. Yeah,
that's what we're gonna do. Let's ramble our way to 1,000. But we can talk about while we're great afterwards. Ramen's here, so that Ramen. Just to contextualise what you've missed, right? Me and the score had a massive fight. We basically started a verbal fight club where we completely disagreed on Enzo Maresca. I'm absolutely tired of his bullshit. I feel like one good second half performance doesn't cover up for the fact that Chelsea have been mind-numbingly boring for large chunks of the season and become increasingly predictable. And I think something needs to change, but the fact is that you can't really change too much. The score thinks I'm being spoiled. Do you want to pick a side, Rahman, or are we gonna fall out? Or is Rahman not gonna speak because he doesn't want to get in trouble? he's gone. I'm not gonna say anything here. You're on mute, mate. I don't know if you're speaking. You can't hear us. Oh, is he there?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now. We're back.
Yeah, that was...
Oh, he's there. He's gone again. He's off mute, so... Are you still there, Rahman?
Rahman?
Oh, we've lost him.
Yeah, I am here. The mine is a bit cut.
Oh, there we go.
There he is.
Yeah, sorry. I don't want to sound too negative. I think that it's easy to be positive after a 3-0 win. And I felt the second half changes were quite really good. The intensity was also quite really good in the second half. And I know a lot of people are going to say Legia are quite really bad, but you can only beat what is in front of you. And so many players that I really wanted to see more from gave more. I liked what I saw from Reece James in midfield for the first time. I think Tariq's goal would give him a lot of confidence. Like, he and Achampong really would be grateful for the Conference League. It's a really good. But you know who is really flying at the moment? Who is like the main man now at Chelsea? Noni Madueke. Like, Chelsea looks so much better with Noni in it. He was so good. He even made like Jadon Sancho look really good. He gave Jadon Sancho like 2 assists. That's crazy. Yeah. And he just plays football with so much confidence. And yeah, he's a winger who was like, he's like easily our best winger. That is not even up for debate. And he just wants to score goals, and that's what the modern game is about, honestly. Not too bad. Those were just the positives. I think we'll get to the final easily, and then we'll see from there.
See, we were discussing on Mediocre earlier. My big worry, Rahman, is he's just so inconsistent.
Noni?
Yeah. I feel like he has these absolutely amazing stellar performances, like Wolves, like tonight, like a couple of other games he's had this season. And then he just completely disappears. But feels like, for to me, it feels like he rides that wave to the point where he kind of realises he needs to do something again. I don't know. I just feel he's too inconsistent.
Roman, thoughts on that?
He's gone again, I think.
Rahman, does that mean I've won? Does that mean we all agree? Am I right?
I just dropped that altogether.
We all love each other. We all love each other here.
I'll get those thoughts from Rahman over a pint. That's what we'll do. We'll wrap up now, I think. Oh, no, hang on. He's here. He's back. Give me a sec.
Oh, he's back.
He's back struggling now. right, he should be in.
Hello?
Hello, hello.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah, guys, forgive me. My internet is playing up. So sorry, honestly. This is so annoying.
But, yeah, no, Rahman, so Nonny Madueke, inconsistent thoughts.
Listen, I think that this season, every time he's played, he's done something that is quite different from all the wingers that we have. I think Nonny is he's not like a finished article, so you can get every now and then something to moan about. But every time he's also played, and I'm always sat closer to the right side where he plays on the right, doesn't he? That he gets the ball and he's intent on hurting the opposition. Whereas most of our wingers just want to beat their man do fancy step overs, possibly look for somebody to pass to or cross to. He takes the ball, beats his man, and is looking to score or looking to set up somebody to score. And I like that about him. I'm not having any Nonny Madueke slander. When he first came, I didn't like the way he played, and that issue at Wembley where Thiago Silva was upset and almost crying and he was laughing, it didn't give him a good start. But boy, like now, like look at the difference just having Nonny in the game today made. So yes, your point of consistency, maybe he needs to step up. But when Nonny is on net, he's on net.
That is true. That is true. And I want to see more of it. I mean, I wasn't entirely convinced by him. I haven't been in recent weeks. And I mean, for me, it's very much a case of he has these amazing moments and I just want to see it more regularly. I just want to see something from him where he backs up the way he behaves. There's certain ways, I mean, there's certain things in his demeanor, like you mentioned when with Thiago Silva, I think maybe that's what I'm clinging on to. I that's part of his demeanor I really just don't like. I don't think he really understands sometimes where he is and what he's doing in some cases. Yeah. But that's just me. You know? But I feel like there's a whole thing to it where I just want all these performances where he does so well. I just want to see it a bit more regularly.
I think there's that the frustration comes because he's such a talented player. When he's playing well, he's so good to watch, right? And he can score goals and he can make goals, you know, and he's got a bit of a swagger about him, which I like in a player as long as they can deliver on that swagger. Right, if they've got the talent to deliver on it. Don't have a swagger if he's not got the talent. But when he's good, he's very good. So if we can see that Nonny Madueke, you know, who can score some goals and create stuff and be dangerous for the rest of the season, then that's a real positive because we'll win a few games. We'll win some games because he'll score some goals and he'll make some goals. But if we see the other Nonny Madueke, the one who doesn't show up and has to be taken off at half time, that's no good for Chelsea at all. And we need the consistent, a club like Chelsea need the consistency, right? And he needs, that's why Nonny is frustrating because we know he, for me anyway, it's because I know the talent is there. He just needs to do it consistently and forget the performances and the, you know, and the goals and the assists and stuff consistently. And when it matters, like every game is a big game now. Every game, even Ipswich, you know, home, think, oh, easy win, you know, relegation team. It's still a big game because we've got to win it, right? And we need Champions League. So, yeah.
Hopefully you can build on tonight and put in good performances.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right. Okay, right. So we'll wrap up there. Thank you, Rama, for coming in late. That was really, really great to hear your thoughts.
Sorry, honestly, I didn't see the message till quite late because I was watching some Europa League football. I'm still actually watching it.
I'm on Twitter. I'm seeing Andre Onana apparently dropped a massive howler.
Yeah, like Manchester United were playing rubbish and losing 1-0, and then they got a goal right on half time. Spurs are drawing at half time as well in the Europa League. So I want both of them to go out because I don't want either of them to win it. And we've already got fifth place this Champions League, so we don't even need it need it for the algorithm anymore. But we'll see. You'll know the result by the time you listen to this, if you listen to the podcast, when this comes out on all podcast platforms. So you can see the segue I did there, Louis. I think that's a pretty good segue. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll be back after the Ipswich game to talk about that. Hopefully that'll be another win. Really appreciate everyone who's come up today and all your contributions. The Chelsea.